Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it's Brendan Boylan, host of the Who Dat Discussion. You can follow all of my other New Orleans Saints work over with the Saints News Network on si.com/NFL/Saints. Just want to say a quick thank you to all of you loyal listeners that have came back every single week. If you haven't caught up already, check out the last episode. I evaluated the Saints at their bye week through 5 weeks of the NFL regular season, and joining me was a familiar face for some of the older fans of the Who Dat Discussion. I had the OG host, the founder, Andrew Galata, joining me to break that down. So again, if you haven't checked that out already, go ahead and check that out. But on to week 7 of the NFL season, the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football for the first time this season as they travel to CenturyLink Field in Seattle, Washington to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Well, let's go ahead and dive into a little bit of a preview and my keys to victory for the New Orleans Saints to advance to 4-2 on the season. But first, let's hit the intro.
All things New Orleans Saints.
This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat?
Powered by Overtime Media.
All right, guys. Well, we know where the story is thus far on this New Orleans Saints team. 3-2 at the bye week, as we said in the previous episode. You know, with all of the adversity that the New Orleans Saints faced to this point in the season, whether it was being displaced because of the hurricane, whether it was playing a home game in Jacksonville, Florida against a team that will contend for the NFC, whether it was the coach's COVID situation in week 2 against Carolina, what you could throw so many things out there, the injuries certainly as well. For the Saints to be 3-2 on the season, I think you would take that away as a dub, especially if you went all the way back to week 1 and we're able to time travel and say, hey, these are all the things that are going to happen at the New Orleans Saints. Where do you think they'd be at the bye week? I think a lot of people would project that they would be a sub-500 team. But here the Saints are, really should be 4-1. No excuse for the blunder with the 11-point lead against the New York Giants. But the Saints over 500, in good shape, and they're facing a little bit of a banged-up Seattle team this week on Monday Night Football. So let's go ahead and dive into some of my keys to victory, and then we'll preview the whole game from there. My first key to victory is quite a simple one, and that is dominate the trenches, especially on the defensive side of the football. And here's why. New Orleans owns the league's second-ranked rush defense at 79 yards per game, and a league low, or a league best, depends how you want to word it, only surrendering 3.3 yards per carry. Now, those are all very impressive stats, but when you look on the other side for Seattle, this is a team that's right in the middle of the pack, averaging somewhere around 110 yards per game on the ground this season, but they're without their best running back in Chris Carson, who has been injured. They also have another question mark at running back, Alex Collins, their backup running back, who has taken the role of Carson at this point in the season. His status, he's listed as questionable for Monday Night Football, and that leaves Rashad Penny, who's just coming back from injury. So lots of question marks at the running back spot for the Seattle Seahawks. So if the Saints are able to win that battle in the trenches, if they're able to be aggressive and almost make this Seahawks team one-dimensional. Because let's face it, the Saints are stellar against the run, and this is a Seattle team that has a lot of question marks, particularly in the run game that I just mentioned. Hey, no Carson, potentially no Collins. You have a new quarterback, right? With Russell Wilson being injured and Geno Smith, who's going to have to make some tough calls and have to make some tough audibles as well. Another big question mark is Damian Lewis, starting guard for the Seattle Seahawks. So there are definitely some places, particularly for the New Orleans Saints, to hone in and attack the Seattle Seahawks with that super strong defensive line that has been so good against the run. And that's despite New Orleans being without Peyton Turner this week, who's already been listed as out, along with Deontay Harris, Taysom Hill, and Dwayne Washington. So New Orleans, it lives and dies in the trenches, but that's week to week with any team in football. That's an old school way of thinking. I look back all the way to the draft in April when New Orleans went with Peyton Turner, which was a surprise to so many people. And one thing that was said on the Saints News Network live broadcast of the draft was, it's so important to build from the inside out. And building from the offensive and defensive lines is so important for any team. So the New Orleans Saints having to win that battle in the trenches, it's going to affect everything else. And it's certainly going to affect Geno Smith, who's having to come in and not just play 1 or 2 weeks, but you're looking at an extended period of time for Geno Smith because of that injury that Russell Wilson suffered that looked oh so similar to Drew Brees' injury a few years ago. Ironically, Aaron Donald both applying both to both quarterbacks, just coming up with that right paw and hitting the hand. So Wilson's going to miss some time. Geno Smith in a big game for Seattle as they continue to try to turn some things around. Sitting at 2-4 on the season, obviously it'd be a completely different story if Wilson was healthy, because look, Wilson might be the best active quarterback to not have won the MVP award. And unfortunately, if you're a Seahawks fan and you're listening to this, I think you'd be willing to agree with me. It seems that the Seahawks, when Russ is healthy every year, it seems that this team starts so strong and somewhere they sputter and they're never able to get back to the heights that they were when they began the NFL season. Good news for the Seahawks and their fans is that DK Metcalf was a full go in practice and does not carry any sort of question marks going into the game. He's a full go and will participate. So that goes into my second point and my second key to victory after dominating the trenches on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the ball because I think DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are just such unique threats on the outside. And DK Metcalf, I remember, was a NFL combine. He was the NFL combine guy of his draft class. He just dazzled with everything, whether it was speed, size, vertical. Everything that Metcalf did was super impressive and proved to just be a tip-top shape, ready-to-go freak of nature. And he's proved that at the NFL level. And this is going to be an interesting matchup between Metcalf and Marshon Lattimore, who I think a lot of people would put up there and would certainly get some votes for Defensive Player of the Year at this point. He's been the best lockdown corner in all of football, but he's got a tough stretch coming up, and it starts here with DK Metcalf, who has had a stellar season for the Seattle Seahawks. Now let's just dive into those numbers for Metcalf this year. The 6'4", 235-pound man out of Ole Miss this season, and going back to last week, had 6 catches for 58 yards, no scores. You look at the week before that, 2 big touchdowns from Metcalf. But as a total, in 2021. Through six games, he has 31 receptions for 441 yards, five touchdowns, and a catch rate of 69%. So Metcalf, just a big physical guy, obviously a Pro Bowler, and you're going to get a physical corner in Marshon Lattimore. And the last thing that the Saints want to do and allow is Geno Smith to find a rhythm early. Now, some of those rhythm passes might be short passes, timing, maybe even getting it out to the flat to your running backs. But when you have guys like Lockett and Metcalf on your team, you definitely want to target those guys, and you want to enhance what they're able to do offensively. Now, I don't know if Lattimore is going to shadow Metcalf throughout the game because, Tyler Lockett provides a completely different threat of his own. However, for Metcalf and for Lattimore in that matchup, I would imagine for majority of the game, you're going to see those guys just go toe-to-toe, and it's going to be something to watch. But for the Saints to be successful, they cannot allow Metcalf to have a big day, can't allow the big play. And Metcalf's a guy with, just because of that size and speed, he's a guy who's single-handedly able to keep drives alive. That's the last thing the New Orleans Saints want to do. Don't allow Metcalf to keep drives alive, make the big play, and certainly develop any sort of early rhythm with Geno Smith. So Lattimore Metcalf is going to be my second key to victory for New Orleans to win. It's going to have to be a big day from Marshon Lattimore. He's going to have to step up and show why so many people this season are saying this guy could be easily a defensive player of the year candidate. Shoot, Pro Football Focus agrees with me. The top-rated cover corner in football to this point in the season. Now, finally, my final key to victory is going to be the New Orleans Saints passing attack. Now, the big news this week was no Michael Thomas. He is a few weeks away, according to sources. The Saints did assign a couple players to come back, designate a couple players to come back from injured reserve, one of those being Tre'Quan Smith, Chris Hogan retiring. So the Saints, not short at receiver, not any shorter than what they were throughout the early goings of the regular season, but take a hit not having Hogan retiring, and it was contemplating that over the last week as he has a pregnant wife at home. He decides to hang the cleats up. Michael Thomas, again, a few weeks away. If I had to take a guess and I had to take a jab at it, I'd say following Halloween, the following week after the Halloween matchup with Tampa Bay, that would be the date that I would circle for a Michael Thomas return. And Tre'Quan Smith, who designated a return from IR, we'll see if the Saints activate him before the matchup on Monday Night Football. But New Orleans is going to have to get something going in the passing game. They've just averaged 170 yards through the air this season. They also have the fewest passing attempts in the league, second worst in terms of passing yards. Through the season, Jameis Winston has thrown for 282 yards, but has a very strong 12-3 touchdown to interception ratio. He has a great opportunity to make those numbers stand up a little bit more against a Seattle passing defense that ranks 28th in the league, allowing just over 292 yards per game. This is not the Legion of Boom Seattle team, even though that's what's made them famous over the years. There's nobody left from what was one of the most exciting and dangerous defenses, and particularly secondaries, in all of football. A couple guys to keep an eye out for. You look at rookie Trey Brown for the Seahawks. You also look at veteran defensive back DJ Reed and Quandre Diggs one of the most underrated players at free safety in the entire league, according to my colleague and friend, Bob Rose. Those are some guys that he particularly highlighted for Seattle's pass defense in some of his preview work for the Saints News Network. Obviously, Jamal Adams, one of the highest paid players and one of the highest paid safeties in all of football, but this has been a Seattle pass defense that hasn't been too good this season. And while the Saints have plenty of question marks at receiver, saw a little bit of a rise of Marquez Callaway over the last few weeks. It looks like Jameis Winston and Callaway's chemistry is continuing to grow. Callaway with back-to-back touchdowns in back-to-back weeks before the bye week. And you also look at a guy like Kenny Stills, who has made the Saints 53-man roster and is still looking to make a big spark impact. But I go back to that New York Giants game where he caught a 50-yard touchdown pass that was brought back because of an Adam Trautman holding. Stills has still has some gas in the tank. He can certainly take the top off. I think he's a very underrated possession receiver. And especially with Chris Hogan retiring, I expect to see a lot more of Kenny Stills for the New Orleans Saints down the stretch. That's going to be so important if the Saints want to be successful. Now, Alvin Kamara has been a big part of this team, and I think him running the ball is going to be important in this game, especially on the road. Seattle, you never know the weather conditions. It's one of the toughest places to play because they have some of the most passionate fans in football, and I'm sure that Kamara is going to be able to do his thing, but Jameis Winston has to continue to prove and win over this fan base, and part of that is coming out on the road, on national television, and with what is still a depleted receiving core, come out with the victory, come out with a win, and look good, look dominant in the matchup. And for all my PPR fantasy people like myself that have Alvin Kamara, we would love to see Kamara included and worked into the passing game just a little bit more, because that's what makes him not just so dangerous in fantasy football, but that's what set him apart as one of the league's best running backs since he entered the league in 2017. So my third key to victory is a strong Jameis Winston performance on the road against a good team in a very difficult place to play. Those are my three keys to victory, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our preview of Week 7. It's the New Orleans Saints and the Seattle Seahawks. You're listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, well, let's wrap up our preview with the Saturday injury report for the New Orleans Saints. I mentioned some of these earlier, but Saints going to be without Deontay Harris, Taysom Hill, Peyton Turner, and Dwayne Washington. Had some limited practice for both Eric McCoy and Teron Armstead. McCoy been out since the opening week matchup against Green Bay. Armstead has missed the last two games, but both back in light duty in practice, and the great news is both do not have injury designations and are expected to return. That's going to be a huge boost for the New Orleans Saints this week. Also, two full participants not carrying any injury designation is Blake Gillikin, who was out with an illness earlier this week, and Marshon Lattimore, who obviously had some surgery on his hand. But huge for the New Orleans Saints with McCoy and Armstead back. That's only going to bolster and help one of my points and one of my keys to victory, and that was a strong performance from Jameis Winston. Oof, it certainly helps to have one of the best left tackles in football return, and one of the best young, if not the best young, interior linemen and center in Eric McCoy. For the Seattle Seahawks, question marks across the board for Alex Collins, who I mentioned earlier, the running back, guard Damian Lewis, defensive end Darrell Taylor, and cornerback John Reed. As I mentioned, DK Metcalf is good to go. Like I said, it was Collins, Lewis, Taylor, and Reed who were all going to be questionable. But Collins and Lewis are expected to play against the New Orleans Saints. It's going to be a game-time decision, but at least for right now, it's safe to say they are expected to give it a go. Well, it's about that time to give my prediction and to close out this preview. I think the New Orleans Saints, anytime you go to Seattle, it's a tough place to play. But some injuries to your starting quarterback, your starting running back, that certainly doesn't help Seattle. For New Orleans, it seems like they're the polar opposite. They're getting healthy at the right times. And with all that, I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints victorious in Week 7. I will take the Saints by the final score of 24-13 over the Seattle Seahawks. With that, the Saints would move to 4-2 and be in a prime position as they continue their playoff push with more and more people returning from injury. Well, guys, who do you think is going to win the Week 7 matchup? What are some of your keys to victory? And what did you think of mine? I'd love to hear from you guys. You can go and tweet at the podcast. It's at the WhoDatDis, D-I-S. Love to hear from you guys. Love interacting with you. You can also go and check out my main Twitter account. It's BT Boylan, B-T-B-O-Y-L-A-N. Tweet me what you guys think of the podcast. Tell me what you guys thought of some of my keys to victory. And obviously, once the matchup is over, let's talk about if I was right, if I was wrong, and things that you liked from the New Orleans Saints or disliked from the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. Well, that's all the time we have for this preview edition on the Who Dat discussion. As always, find your peace, spread love, practice positivity, and we'll see you after Week 7 right back here on the Who Dat discussion podcast.